Your financial choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I am a CPA, CFP professional in AEP, on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. You can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org or on the WDIY app. Programs are also available under Public Affairs and on yourfinancialchoices.com, as well as many streaming services. Today is November 13th, 2024. The markets were mixed today, with the Dow closing up at 43,958, the NASDAQ down at 19,230, and the S&P up at 5,985. Tonight, Medicare updates, and we'll hear more about that from Dan Banks of Silvercrest Insurance. We are live tonight. We'll take your questions. Cindy and Bob are in the studio with us this evening. Answer your calls, take your information, and we ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments, and while I typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic and I will do my best to answer them. The phone number is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. You can talk live on air with us, or if you're not comfortable talking live, you can give your question to Cindy and they'll write it down and bring it into the studio. You can also send questions through yourfinancialchoices.com. So as I mentioned, Daniel Banks of Silvercrest Insurance. Dan is the president and co-founder of Silvercrest Insurance. Dan's been working in the insurance industry for 25 years, past 17 years, specifically in Medicare insurance plans. His office is located in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, and has grown to include a team of advisors dedicated to navigating the complexities of Medicare and, more recently, marketplace insurance through the Affordable Care Act. Welcome back, Dan.
Hey, Lori. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So Dan and I were talking before the show. I felt like it was yesterday I saw him, and apparently it's been much longer than that. So
it's been a minute.
Yeah. But Dan's a regular guest and very helpful, and certainly helpful in this area that, you know, is certainly not my specialty, even though when we, you know, we have financial topics on the show and, you know, I'm a financial person. This is really, it's overwhelming, I think, to understand. It's overwhelming even for, you know, an individual trying to navigate this. So Dan, can you take a minute just to talk about, you know, what you do at Silvercrest so people know when they might need help?
Sure. So what we do specifically, we help people who are getting ready to go on Medicare, people who are already on Medicare, but oftentimes that will come to us to help them sign up for Medicare and then decide which type of coverage they're going to sign up for, what's the best for them based on their needs and budget, and then help get them signed up with the company of their choice. So we're actually a brokerage agency. We work with many of the carriers in the available in the Lehigh Valley, and we're also licensed in 11 different states all up and down the East Coast. And in addition to Medicare, we, as you said, work with the Affordable Care Act through the Pennsylvania Exchange, which is called Penny. So we help people to sign up for the website to see if they can get a subsidy based on their income for plans on the exchange, and then to sign up for the best plan, again, based on their needs and budget.
Okay, great. And I know that we want to talk tonight about some updates on Medicare, and we're going to talk about those. But first, I did have a question that came through the website. So can I go ahead and ask you that?
Sure.
Okay, so Carolyn from Sailorsburg had sent in a question. I'm turning 65 soon and looking at options. I was told to apply for Medicare Part A. And maybe we need to go through the alphabet of Medicare in a minute. So right. I was told to apply for Medicare Part A this month, but I read something that says I can defer doing this because I still have health insurance through my employer, which I plan to have for about 2 more years. Why, either question, why would I want to defer? Is there a cost to Part A? And is that why she should defer? Can we clarify?
So the first thing I would say is, when people say they were told, oftentimes it's by a friend or a family member, sometimes even Social Security, which is confusing to me, because number one, you don't have to sign up for Part A or Part B if you have company insurance and your employer employs more than 20 people. And that's important in itself. If you have company insurance, you're satisfied with your company insurance, you can defer both Part A and B until you no longer have the option for company insurance through your own employment or through your spouse's employment. You can certainly compare the two and see maybe oftentimes these days Medicare may be a better deal in terms of cost and coverage. So I would encourage people to do that.
Dan, just a sec. So you mean if you have health insurance through your employer and you turn 65, you're saying you can compare the cost of the employer coverage because the employee might be paying for some of it?
Oftentimes they are.
Yeah. Okay. So they're paying for it. So it could be they would need to check out if Medicare plus a supplemental plan would be cheaper than the employer coverage. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
which is a lot of times the case, especially, mm-hmm. These days with the cost of health insurance for the employer. They're asking their employees sometimes to participate in more of the cost. And if you have a spouse that's covered under your plan and they're Medicare eligible, you might get a better deal through the employer, but sometimes the spouse might have to pay 50% of the employer premium, which for age-banded rates under employer coverage can be quite expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of different scenarios. Be hard to go over every single one right now, but I would just say blanket advice. If you're in that situation, get advice through a broker and they'll give you a comparison, and it may sometimes be better to just go on Medicare. I would say don't just sign up for Part A or any part of Medicare as blanket advice, because some people have HRAs through work or HSAs,
which are
health savings accounts.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can contribute to them on a tax favored basis,
yes,
right?
Yes, yeah, huge.
But if you have any other health insurance, which would include just Medicare Part A, your tax advantages go away. In fact, any contribution is penalized.
Mm-hmm.
And employers often don't understand, even Social Security, if you call them, you may not get the right information from them. So it's very important not to just accept blanket advice. You do not have to go on A and B Medicare if your employer is over 20 and you want to stay on your employer coverage.
And it's credible coverage.
And it's credible coverage, which in October of every year, your insurance provider is supposed to issue a credible coverage letter to you. And if you are not familiar with that, you can ask your human resources provider, whoever handles your company benefits, for your credible coverage letter. They can obtain that through the insurance provider or through the broker who supplies your company plan.
Mm-hmm. It can get complicated.
Yeah, it does. It gets into the weeds really quick.
So we have 1 minute before our first break. So Part A is basically the hospital insurance.
Part A is the hospital insurance. Part B is for the doctor and all the outpatient. So that's the A and the B of Medicare, which covers about 80% of your medical insurance. It's the major medical part of Medicare.
Okay. And then we'll talk about C and D in a little bit. We're going to our first break. Jeff, hang on the line. We're going to take your call as soon as we get back from this quick break. We'll be, and the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
WDIY members have exclusive access to our weekly member ticket giveaway. That's a new drawing every week for the best events the Lehigh Valley has to offer. Concerts, festivals, film screenings, theater performances, and more. Last year, WDIY gave away over 2,000 tickets to our members. So don't miss your chance. Become a WDIY member today. Call 610-694-8100 extension 4 or visit wdiy.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here in WDIY. I have Dan Banks from Silvercrest Insurance in the studio with us this evening talking about Medicare and Medicare updates. But I have a call from Jeff. Jeff, can you hear me?
I can, Lori. Good evening.
Hi, good evening. How can I help you?
Okay, so it's a question about a beneficiary IRA. My wife's mother passed earlier this year, and she was named a beneficiary. So we now have a beneficiary IRA account.
Yep.
We know we have to take some funds out in 2024 to satisfy her deceased mother's 2024 RMD because she didn't take proper amount out for that. But going forward, we know we have 10 years to essentially deplete that account.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have to take out annual withdrawals over that 10-year period, or could we potentially just wait to the 10th year and draw it all down at that point? And, the reason I'm asking is because it impacts our taxes depending on, because it's all going to come income. And
just
down with that, but is there a requirement to annually withdraw some funds from that IRA?
Yes, there will be. So there was a lot of back and forth with the IRS and looking for clarification on the rules on the beneficiary IRA when under the Secure Act 2.0, they changed it for someone inheriting used to be able to take it out over their life expectancy. We called it like a stretch IRA. They changed that and said now if you're a non-spouse and you inherit other than certain provisions like disabled people or minors and things like that, and spouses. Now there's a 10-year rule. You have to take it out within 10 years. If the deceased person was not RMD age, you could take it out any time during the 10 years, any little bit, any lot of it, any amount, as long as it was out within 10 years, if the deceased was pre-RMD age. If the deceased was now RMD age when they passed away, this is where the rules got murky. Everyone thought we had 10 years. And then the IRS came out and said, oh, no, no, no. If they were RMD age, you have to keep taking RMDs. And then it was like, well, which RMD? The deceased person's RMD or our life expectancy RMD? You know, there was so much confusion. And they've clarified it starting, I believe, in 2025. So this has been going on for a few years now. So there is no requirement for 2024 for those people, or 23 or 22 or 21, I think, even. And they're not going to make people go back and take out those amounts. But in your story, because mom just passed away in 2024, the RMD that she had to take, as you said, would have to come out. And then next year, your wife is the beneficiary. She would have to take out a minimum amount, not mom's RMD, but a required minimum distribution based on your wife's single life expectancy. So there's going to be a table she'd go to. It might be a very small amount. But you take a small amount, year 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. If you haven't taken it all out by year 10, now you're taking out the balance and it could be a huge hit for you. So you really have to kind of manage that. So let's pretend the minimum amount your wife might, maybe mom's minimum was, you know, $30,000. Wife's minimum might be $1,800. But $1,800 might not empty it in 10 years. So you want to, you know, factor that in your tax planning. So you might be okay for year 2, year 3 doing the small amount, and maybe you'll retire in year 6. Well, then in year 6, that might be a window to start, you know, fast forwarding or, you know, depleting the IRA. So does that make sense? Does that help? It's a smaller amount for the inherited person over their life expectancy than what the deceased RMD would have been. But yes, she's going to have to start taking it in 2025.
Okay, that's the question, because we thought we might be able to just potentially wait till...
Yeah, no.
It suited us from a tax situation, waiting until the 10th year, but it sounds like we're going to have to at least draw some out there and then just...
A little bit, yep.
The tax implications as we do it and try to do it that way. So yes, very helpful.
Right. One other thing, Jeff, if there was more than one beneficiary on mom's IRA, some people might not realize the minimum amount that mom had to take that she didn't, that could be satisfied by anybody's distribution. So I've had situations where I have one child who makes no money and wants to completely take their, you know, all of the IRA money out, and the other kid had tons of money and didn't want to take out mom's RMD because they have too much income already. Well, mom's RMD was satisfied by the kid with no money. They took it all, you know, they took out their share. So the RMD for mom can be satisfied by any of the beneficiaries. It doesn't have to be just, you know, unless there's only one.
No, and we were aware of that because there's a brother involved too. So there's two of them, and we just had this conversation saying, hey, between the two of you, if neither one of you takes out enough to satisfy the RMD for the year, then you're both going to have to split it. And somehow between the two of you, you have to meet the RMD for this year or there's a penalty.
Yep, perfect. Sounds like you're on top of it.
Thank you very much.
All right, take care. Have a good one. Thank you for your question.
And you said Medicare's complicated.
Oh, yeah, it's all fun. Yeah, but I can't drive in your lane at all, Dan, so we really appreciate you being here. So
we'll just all stay in our own lanes then, right?
Yeah, so one of the reasons we talk about Medicare in particular this time of year is why? Can we tell people why this is a hot topic right now?
Yes. So we are smack in the middle of the annual enrollment period, the Medicare annual enrollment period, which runs from October 15th through December 7th. So during this time, Medicare beneficiaries are able to make certain changes, specifically your prescription plan. So if you have a standalone Part D prescription plan, you can review other options and change prescription plans by December 7th for the change to be effective on January 1st. If you have a Medicare Advantage plan, which is Medicare Part C, if the same rules apply. So you can review other Advantage plans and change by December 7th for an effective date of January 1st. If you have Medicare as your primary, which means you would have usually have a supplement, and that's the letters F, G, or N plans are most common. So that would be Medicare primary with the supplement F, G, or N usually, and then the Part D standalone plan. And you wish to go to a Medicare Advantage plan, you can look at that now and go to that Advantage plan by December 7th with that change to become effective by the 1st of January.
Okay. So people who have the FGN plans should be looking at their supplemental plans right now?
Well, not necessarily. If you're just talking about shopping a rate, you can do that anytime during the year with the FG or N plan because it's based on medical underwriting. If you're trying to, say you have a G plan, you're paying $250 a month for that and you want to shop your rate, you don't have to do that now. In fact, this is probably not the best time to do it because it's such a busy time. But if you're looking at Medicare Advantage as an option and going away from the FG or N plan to an all-in-one Medicare Advantage plan, you want to do that now. This is the time.
Okay, that's the open enrollment.
Right. Okay. So that's basically what's going on right now. Of course, switching over to the Affordable Care Act, that open enrollment starts on November 15th. And that will run through January 15th.
Mm.
And then those changes become effective. I'm not as good with the Affordable Care Act because I've written Medicare for years, but I got people who do this. But I believe if you switch your plan up until December 15th, your plan becomes effective January 1st. If you switch your plan after January 1st through the 15th, it becomes effective. That change becomes effective February 1st.
Okay.
But don't quote me on that.
Well, they should be getting help regardless.
Should be getting help regardless. Of course, some people do it themselves. You can, mm-hmm. But if you want guidance, obviously that's what we're here for.
Okay, we're going to talk more about the Medicare updates that you wanted to point out for people through some of the recent legislation. Folks, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. You can talk live on air with us, or if you're not comfortable talking live, just give your question to Cindy and Bob will bring it in to us. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY, also available on the WDIY app. I have in the studio with me Daniel Banks, president of Silvercrest Insurance. We're talking about Medicare, and we're going to get into some Medicare updates, but I just want a little clarification, Dan, because I don't always understand everything. It goes over my head. As often as you come on, you think I would know more of this. But so Medicare, you mentioned the traditional Medicare, which is Part B, has with it supplemental plans or Medigap plans.
Right.
And they're called F, G, and N. And maybe you could explain to me, what does it mean to have like a plan, but then we have different insurance providers. So we have a insurance company A, insurance company B, insurance company C that's selling insurance to me under some plan. Yeah, under some plan.
Right.
How do they coordinate? What does it mean? If you can explain.
So again, with original Medicare, where you have A and B, your hospital and your outpatient or doctor as your primary insurance, they bill Medicare, and then they bill your supplement, also called a Medigap plan.
Medigap, yeah.
And those plans are standardized. There's actually more than just F, G, and N. There's actually 10 plans, but the most commonly sold based on premiums and benefits are F, G, and N. So with the F, G, and N plan, because they're standardized and sold through many different companies, you're basically just shopping your rate. Because when Medicare gets billed and they bill that particular plan, it has to pay based on the benefits if Medicare approved the service and paid first. So a G plan is a G plan, no matter which company you go to. And if you've had a G plan or an F or an N plan for several years, and the rates go up by a percentage every year, so that rate just continues to compound each year. After a certain amount of time, you'd probably want to shop that rate, which is not a guarantee, because now when you shop the rate, when you first went on it, the company had to issue that as a guarantee issue. That's part of the deal. But
no underwriting.
No underwriting. Guarantee mm-hmm. issue, no underwriting. But after 6 months of being on Medicare, you want to switch, they're now permitted to ask underwriting questions to screen for health issues, so they could say yes or no to your application. And oftentimes people say, well, I thought they couldn't ask questions anymore, medical questions. Well, that was the Affordable Care Act. That's a whole different piece of legislation. It has nothing to do with, I shouldn't say nothing to do with Medicare, but that particular element to it mm-hmm. is not for supplements.
Okay.
So they are still permitted to underwrite you. And that can be, like I said, it could be a yes or no. And you can do it any time of year. It doesn't have to fall within this time period, which is what I mentioned earlier. Not the best time to do it when the insurance companies are inundated with applications right now. We usually try to put people off until January or February if they want to review their rates. We don't make them. Not, we mm-hmm. will shop it if they insist, but it's not the smoothest transition because underwriting takes a little bit of time, and it takes more time now when, you know, insurance companies have thousands, maybe mm-hmm. millions of applications to look at.
So someone could shop a rate, go to a different insurance company. Mm-hmm. How does this plan F, G, or N come into play?
Well, because that's the benefit structure of the plan, which is a standardized benefit structure. The government sets that.
Because I know you can't get plan F anymore.
No.
For new people.
Yeah. For new people. But if you already have an F plan and you've been on Medicare prior to 2020, you can still get an F plan. That said, I don't necessarily recommend that because the pool of F plan insureds are shrinking and they're only becoming older. And, you know, presumably, you know, the older the population, the more claims, and the rates each year are adjusted by their claims experience. So if you're in an F plan, you know, for a number of years, you can expect your rate increases to be pretty salty.
So if you're shopping a price for an insurance provider for mm-hmm. your Medigap policy, you may shop a different plan as well.
You can shop a different plan. So we'll take people from an F to an N or a G. And okay. that's usually what we encourage because there's quite a savings. And the difference in benefits is pretty
okay.
It's not a big difference. Mm-hmm. And it's easy to show somebody. It's harder to say what it is on air, but
right.
it's an easy thing to demonstrate for somebody sitting with us. So anybody who's in those plans, I would always encourage them to shop them every few years, because there's no better time than the present because you never know what tomorrow is going to bring. If somebody, you know, is healthy today and a week from now they have some sort of an issue medically, that could be a problem.
But it seems to me that that demographic is mm-hmm. all over 65, could all end up having healthcare issues, could all have pre-existing conditions that could affect their premiums. So they may always stay on the same insurance then?
It's possible, yeah. We've had people that...
Because they don't want to have to go through that underwriting again? Or,
yeah, I mean, well, or they just might not be able to get accepted to another carrier.
Okay.
You know, but we'll have people who are 80 years old who are still in great health,
mm-hmm.
Which is not super common, mm-hmm. but it's not...
My mom, 94.
There you go. and, you know, so it runs the gamut. I mean, okay. But it is sort of one of those things that... that's most people don't quite understand, especially this time of year. They think if they're going to shop their supplement, they have to do it now. No, only if you are trying to look at Medicare Advantage, this is the time to do that. Now you're totally changing your coverage.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you help people navigate all that regardless.
Of course.
Okay. You have little secret things to look at, I suppose.
Yes.
What did I wanted to say before we talk about some of the other updates, are there critical decisions or actions that one needs to address right now? You know, before we talk about the updates, like what's the caution? Is there a caution right now? Because this open enrollment date.
You definitely want to review your prescription plans, especially this year, or your Medicare Advantage plans, especially this year, because we're going to talk about the Inflation Reduction Act, which was passed in August of 2022. And that legislation phased in. There were certain elements that phased in each year. With the biggest impact is that they've now capped the out-of-pocket for prescription drugs to $2,000, which is a good thing for people on very expensive medications. However, it's kind of wreaked havoc through the insurance industry because now the insurance company was open to more exposure for the balance, whatever those people were going to pay.
Mm-hmm.
So that caused a lot of unrest, let's say, in the insurance plans this year. There's not as many options. It's gotten a little bit tricky. So
who's responsible for the cost? Is it the pharmaceuticals companies or the insurance companies? Who's having to pick up the difference if there's a cap on that?
Well, the insurance companies are really sucking up a lot of the cost, although part of the legislation is enabling in 2026 the federal government to negotiate pharmaceutical prices directly with the pharmaceutical companies, which has never been done. I can't say never, but not in recent history. And so that's potentially a very good thing because they have 10 very expensive medications earmarked for those negotiations. And the medications we're talking about probably retail around $500 or $600 a month.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to talk more about that and the updates when we come back from our break. If you have questions, phone number is 610-758-8810. We're talking with Dan Banks from Silvercrest Insurance about Medicare and updates. You can talk live on air with us or off air. Just give your question to Cindy and she'll write it down. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Welcome back. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. You can talk live with us, or if you're not comfortable talking live, just call in and give your question to Cindy. She'll write it down and Bob will bring it in. I appreciate them being here for sure. So we're talking with Dan Banks of Silvercrest Insurance about Medicare and Medicare updates. And it's such a convoluted process, I'm telling you, you guys. To me, it's so confusing. But Dan, you've been doing it a long time and you've been, again, a frequent guest. And I thank you so much for coming in and talking about this because this is definitely not up my alley. So you mentioned the Inflation Reduction Act. You know, in our notes, you mentioned IRA. And of course, for me, IRA is individual retirement account.
Right.
So in your world, IRA is the Inflation Reduction Act. And I think people don't understand the comprehensiveness of it. Can you kind of narrow it down how some, you know, part of that legislation and how it impacts our discussion this evening?
Yeah. And so with any large piece of legislation, there's a lot of things in it that, you know, a variety of elements that span a bunch of categories. So we're only talking about Medicare. And so the Medicare piece of that legislation was specifically intended to reduce the cost of Part D prescription drugs. So for many years now, that's been a problem. And the Affordable Care Act, actually, this is why I stopped myself to say it didn't have anything to do with Medicare. The Affordable Care Act aimed to close what was called the coverage gap or donut hole, which it sort of scaled back over the course of time, so it helped. And now, finally, they said, once and for all, we're going to close this coverage gap, and that's what the Inflation Reduction Act did. It closed the coverage gap, and that means that when you reach $2,000 out of pocket for prescription drugs, you no longer have to pay anything. So, for example, if somebody who had maybe two or three brand name medications in the past, even insulin, and insulin was a big part of this act, you add those together, people could be paying as much as $5,000 or $6,000 out of their pocket in 1 year for medications. And I think we all recognize that's a lot, especially mm-hmm. When you're retired. So the legislation is designed to mitigate that. With any piece of legislation this big, it takes a while to phase it all in, and it's going to have good impacts, and there's going to be some adverse impacts along the way, bumps and bruises that we're mm-hmm. all going to have to weather until the insurance companies can acclimate to the plan or to the legislation, and they have to enforce it, and that's where we're at right now. So we're in the very pivotal time where in 2025 that $2,000 cap goes into effect, and it's had an impact on the prescription plans inside of Medicare Advantage plans and the prescription plans outside of Medicare Advantage plans, because they're all really one and the same. We're seeing, as brokers and agents for all these companies, we're reviewing all the benefits and we're going over these changes with our companies, or with, excuse me, our clients. So it's been a very active year for reviewing people's plans, which is already an active time for us. So, for example, some of those changes, number one, a good change is they capped insulin prices at $35. So insulin in the past, Humalog, Novolog, and people on insulin would know these names because that's what they're taking, Levemir, to buy 5 pens for a month, the retail cost could be $600-$700. Number one, you'll hit the deductible if you have a deductible in your plan, so you're paying $500 right up front. And then you're going to get it at a reduced cost, usually in those plans, a tier three copay of maybe $45, $47. And then come October, all of a sudden you go, hey, why am I paying all this money now for my insulin? Because I hit the coverage gap. So now you're paying 25% of the cost, the retail cost of the insulin. So your cost goes way up. And this was happening every year. We'd get a call in whatever month it was, because we could calculate it, and they go, I just came from the drugstore and they wanted $550 for a 3-month supply of insulin. Well, I can't pay this. That's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Now, insulin doesn't hit the deductible if there's a deductible on the plan, and the copay is $35, and it goes throughout the year. So it, essentially, if someone was on two insulins, which oftentimes they are, they would be out of pocket $1,500 to $2,000 for the year for those insulins easily. Now they cut that basically by 60%. So that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but things like that have to get paid for somehow, and that reverberates through the plans right now. So it caused the insurance companies to do funny things. And so, number one, many of the plans went from a tier three fixed copay. So tier three is brand. There's 5 tiers in drug plans. There's tier one generics, tier two non-preferred generics, tier three brand drugs, tier four non-preferred brands, and tier five specialty drugs. Those are your cancer, MS.
Mm-hmm.
And those drugs are highly expensive. But tier three is where a lot of people fall, especially with insulin and other medications. So where was I going with this?
The cost.
The cost, yes. So now those costs for people in those categories have been greatly reduced. But if you just have one brand name drug, instead of having a fixed copay, you're now paying a 25% coinsurance right out of the gate because the fixed copays went to percentages in most plans. So it made it more expensive for certain people and less expensive for others. So it really spread the cost out.
Right. So there's still the cap on the
there's insulin. There's still the cap.
But on insulin, it's still at the $35.
Right, right.
But other drugs
might like
have the 25%.
Eliquis and Xarelto and Restasis, all very expensive medications. They are now, if you just have one of those medications, you're the person that maybe is helping to subsidize the others.
Like group insurance. Yeah,
which I hate to say, it's not a conspiracy, but we're just seeing it happen through the plans. And so, again, you have to be careful. I mean, we're looking at, you know, well, what's the best plan to be in? And it's typically not the one you're in, you know. So there may be a better plan or a different way to go with that. Now, again, there's a couple of those medications I just mentioned are going to be in the drug negotiations for next year, assuming the Inflation Reduction Act holds up in 2025, because now, you know,
the administration change, you mean?
With the administration change. And I don't have a crystal ball, and we're just starting, you know, everybody, I mean, this is all new right now. Mm-hmm. So we're basically, you know, just like everybody else, seeing what happens. I personally don't see a wholesale flip backwards, because usually this legislation, because of how complex it is and how long it takes to phase it in and who it's benefiting, if you rip it out from under them, that could be a little bit of a problem. And mm-hmm. I don't know that people are ready to do that.
Mm-hmm. So the Inflation Reduction Act was involved with closing that donut hole.
Correct.
As well. And then putting a cap on insulin for now.
Yeah.
Which could be expanded to possibly 10 other drugs, or the negotiations might be something a little different, or.
Well, that kind of remains to be seen, mm-hmm. you know, and so it's a sort of a wait and see. Even if, let's just say, the Inflation Reduction Act and all the elements as it pertains to Medicare sticks and nothing happens there, I would expect eventually the insurance companies will acclimate to the costs and adjust. I think they're playing it very conservative. You're seeing a lot of plans that exited the market, like major companies that are just pulling plans off the shelf. Not so much in the Lehigh Valley, but we've seen it in other areas. There are a few here. So there's just been a lot of changes, and insurance companies are conservative by nature. They're going to wait until they can figure it all out actuarially and get some data under their belt, and then usually they'll loosen the belt. We've seen it happen before.
Dan, could you explain what you mean by when you said you've seen some insurance carriers just pull the plans? Are you in particular talking about Medigap plans?
Not Medigap.
Specifically
Medicare Advantage plans the prescription plans in the plans, and Part D prescription plans. There's been a lot of shifting in those markets, because those plans are all subsidized by the federal government.
Okay.
And they're the most impacted by all the subsidies and all the legislative changes in the Inflation Reduction Act. So it's been quite a ride, like trying to navigate through how all these changes are going to impact the beneficiary, which is the Medicare beneficiary, mm-hmm. and then trying to help them navigate into the best plan.
So when someone goes to, when you hear about a company pulling the plan, mm-hmm. For their reasons, whatever the reasons are, is there a window that they have to say, hey, this plan's going to be gone as of January or February, or do they just pull it? Like, do our listeners have to be worried about their prescription Part D plans?
Well, so every year in September, your Part D insurance company or your Part C Advantage plan company has to send you an annual notice of change. So typically that would show you what your plan looks like this year versus what it's going to look like next year. If the plan was going to pull, if they were going to pull your particular plan, they would notify you of that, hey, your plan's going away. You got to pick another plan for next year. So you would be notified of that. Hopefully you get the notification.
And you read it.
And, you know, as brokers, when we see that with our clients, we pull all the people and we send out own notifications to say, hey, look, your plan's going away or your plan's changing drastically for next year. I'm going to plug myself. This is sort of the benefit of having a broker.
Right, right.
Because you have now a secondary,
oversight.
Mm-hmm. But you really need to pay attention in September to what's going to happen with my plan. And this has just been a year where, I mean, every year one plan, and there's 70 plans, Medicare Advantage plans, 21 prescription plans in the Lehigh Valley. Every year, one of those plans does this. They might exit the market. And then, you know, we have to notify people or they get notified. This year, and I'm not saying in this particular market, but we've seen a slew of companies pulling different plans off the market. And again, some of this is just me being in the business and, you know, stating a little bit of opinions. I'm not an actuary, but we're as brokers, we're putting our finger on the pulse of the market so that we can make sure that our clients are being directed appropriately.
Okay. Good information. We'll continue our discussion with Dan Banks, president of Silvercrest Insurance. When we return, the phone number is 610-758-8810. There's still time to call. You can talk live with us, or if you're not comfortable talking live, just give your question to Cindy. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services, including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
WDIY News engages the Lehigh Valley with accurate, unbiased reporting from many sources and volunteer real voices. Listen to WDIY News during Morning Edition, Fresh Air, All Things Considered, and Weekend Edition. Every day here on 88.1 FM, streaming on WDIY.org and the WDIY phone app. WDIY. Many choices, real voices.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You are listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY. 88.1 podcast of prior shows are also available on WDIY.org under Public Affairs, as well as YourFinancialChoices.com and on many streaming services. We are speaking with Dan Banks, president of Silvercrest Insurance, and we're talking about some Medicare updates, some nuances of Medicare, trying to navigate all the options, the changes. And Dan, let me just ask about at this point, how do people reach you if they have questions? Your website is?
It's SilvercrestINS.com. So SilvercrestINS, like insurance.com. We have a contact. You can contact us through the website, or you can give us a call at 610-868-5801, 610-868-5801. And also, our services have no cost. So as brokers, we're compensated through the insurance companies. It doesn't cost our clients more to work with us. They don't raise their rates for our benefit.
And it's to get educated on the options that they have.
Correct.
So in talking about some of the updates from the changes because of the Inflation Reduction Act, what else came out of that besides the insulin? That was a big one, the insulin and the cap on the prescription coverage.
The insulin was a big one. And, of course, the cap on the out-of-pocket, closing the coverage gap. Another thing they did was something called the prescription payment plan, which is designed to provide predictable costs for people with their prescriptions. So the most that an insurance plan can charge for a deductible this year is $590. And typically, most plans apply that to the tier 3 medications and above. So tier 3, 4, and 5. Tier 1 and 2, the lower-cost generics, if you use their preferred pharmacies, the deductible is usually waived, and you'll get the medication for whatever the tier 1 or 2 copay is right out of the gate. But if you have a tier 3 medication and it's $500, your first order is going to be $500 and plus the copay. So you might be $600 out of pocket right in January. So if that's, you know, if that's cumbersome for someone financially, you can spread that payment out evenly through the course of the year. And not only in January, but if it happened in April, you can spread those payments out for the balance of the year so that you don't have to suck that whole cost up all in one time. And the insurance companies are set up to administer the prescription payment plan. So, for example, if it was $600 right away, you could spread it out to $50 a month. And then your subsequent orders on medications can get built into that plan. So I'm not I'm not gonna say I'm an expert on how it's administered because it hasn't even happened yet. But
it's for 2025.
It starts in 2025. I'm not even sure how many people will take advantage of it, but I think there probably are people that will benefit from that who don't want to pay that large amount of money at one time, and they can spread it out through the course of the year. So I think that was a pretty positive part of this legislation. I'd say in terms of the Inflation Reduction Act, those are probably the highlights to that plan. And again, I'm hopeful that they won't go away, and the insurance companies are going to adjust to this, and they're going to make the plans richer for 2026, especially when they're able to negotiate some of these higher cost medications. So then the pharmaceutical companies are now going to suck up a little more of that cost, which I don't think anybody would cry about. So you see,
when we talk about Medicare, though, let's go back then for a second. So we have open enrollment right now for Medicare Advantage and for prescription Medicare Part D.
There's another lesser known enrollment period that we can mention.
Okay.
Which insurance brokerage agencies, insurance companies, they're not allowed to advertise this. And I wouldn't consider this advertising. This is an informational. It's called the OEP, which is the Medicare Advantage OEP, open enrollment period, which begins January 1st and runs through the 31st of March. So this is specifically for people on Medicare Advantage plans. You have two options. You can switch your Medicare Advantage plan anytime during that time. And part of the reason that it exists is sometimes people go into a Medicare Advantage plan and then all of a sudden they discover that one of their doctors isn't in there, the cardiologist they've been seeing for 20 years. And where before, a few years ago, that could be a big problem. Now I have to switch cardiologists. Well, so they opened up this other time where, okay, you can go get into another plan and make sure your providers are covered all in the network. So if you don't change your Medicare Advantage plan by December 7th, you have a whole nother 3 months in the beginning of the year to take a look at it.
Oh, okay. So ordinarily, if you wanted to change your Medicare Advantage plan, you have to do it now through December 7th.
Yep, and that would be it.
Okay, and then you think, uh-oh. But then December 25th or 26th, I guess, you find out, oops, my doctor isn't in it. But there's this special open enrollment, the OEP.
Correct.
And do you have to show why you would qualify for that period?
Nope.
No.
Nope,
okay.
It's open to anybody on a Medicare Advantage plan. The other thing they can do...
But do you have to go to another Medicare Advantage plan, or can you go to traditional?
It's a good question. You can go back to traditional Medicare. And now, of course, again, you have to get underwritten for a Medicare supplement, and then you would get a prescription drug plan. Those are two things you can do. Now, again, you cannot go from traditional Medicare to a Medicare Advantage plan during that time. You can only do that now.
Okay. And in the past, years ago, I remember, Dan, I always felt like, gosh, why would anyone go on Medicare Advantage? Because I always thought, you know, the insurance company could drop you, because I thought that, you know, it might not be as sticky. And so I liked the idea of the Medigap plans.
Yep.
But so many more people are on Medicare Advantage now, and I think you're seeing that as well. Is there an advantage one way or another that you could tell us in two or three minutes?
Well, I actually just wrote an article on this for my client's benefit.
Is it on your website, by the way, your article?
That's a good question.
Might want to post it.
I might want to post it.
Okay.
Thanks, Lori. This is why I'm here. It's very individual thing. We don't
That's what I say to financial advice. It's like your fingerprint. You have to.
There's a lot of opinions out there. Don't ever go on a Medicare Advantage plan or.
Why wouldn't you go on one? Yeah, so it's both ways.
I'm going to give a real brief story. We had a person on a supplement who's been on it for years and years. Her premium was $350 a month. And she also, in addition, had to pay for a prescription plan and no dental, no anything in addition to that. We took a look at that for her, and she did go on a Medicare Advantage plan. She cried. Because she said, now I can buy food. Now I can go out to eat with my friends.
Oh, wow.
So her particular situation, being low income, number one, one of the biggest detractors or something, you know, people would say is, I don't want to pay all those copays, until you know what they are, you can't really say that at all. You have to see what you're talking about. But number two, if she had a lot of medical bills, which you're not going to have, if you get $1,000 bill, which would be even very rare, you could get on the financial assistance program with the hospital, and you probably, that would net down to zero for her if she really was in that kind of financial situation. She held on to that F plan supplement because that's what everybody told her to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that's why I say you can't just follow blanket advice. It's going to be individual. So there is no one size fits all. Medicare Advantage plans in my time have morphed into something a lot different. Their networks have opened up. They're more liberal with where you can go to the doctor. You have in and out of network benefits. You have tons of additional options or benefits like dental, vision, hearing, things you would have to pay for separately with traditional Medicare. It's become a very good option for people, especially people that are paying so much and can't switch their supplement because they have medical issues. So again, I'm not selling Medicare Advantage plans. Mm-hmm. I'm just telling people that you have to look at all of your options and make the decision yourself, not just because your friend, you know, Joe Smith told you to stay on your F plan.
So Medicare Advantage plans have dental and vision?
Oh, yeah.
Included. Okay. Now, I have heard from a number of clients who have the traditional Medicare with the supplemental plans who do not have dental, do not have vision.
And, right.
But you can actually still buy separate dental insurance.
Yeah,
even if you're on a supplemental plan,
you
look at those too.
We
don't
do.
You?
Yeah. We do.
Okay.
And those additional benefits come with a price tag,
right?
You know. And I was just telling someone today the dental benefit in one of the plans we were looking at. If you bought it on the street, it would be $80 to $100 a month just for that.
Mm-hmm.
So some of them can be pretty rich benefits. Again, it just depends on the plan. They have over-the-counter benefits where you can go to CVS with a card and buy, you know, whatever you buy at CVS, minus cigarettes, of course. But,
mm-hmm.
But I mean,
they don't sell them anymore, by the way.
You can't buy them at CVS anyway. But, I mean, so those are, and that's helpful to people because anybody can go into the drugstore and spend, you know, $50 easily. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're buying supplements and things like that. These are all things that you can buy. So there's definitely some added benefits in there. It's just, again, it's very particular to the people that we're meeting with as to what's the best deal based on their budgets and needs.
Okay. Dan, thank you so much for being here with us. It's a lot of information. It's a little overwhelming.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine all the people who are getting all the mail in their mailboxes and trying to make sense of it as well. So if people want to reach you, your website is silvercrestinsforinsurance.com.
Absolutely.
Okay. Maybe post that article.
I will. Thank you, Lori.
Well, thank you for being here. I want to thank our listeners and thank you for calling in and thank Bob and Cindy for being here as well. Next week, I'm going to have, I believe next week is Thanksgiving, isn't it? We're going to have a pre-record. Is that already next week?
The week after, I
think. Is it the week after? Uh-oh, then I'm wrong. I think I said I was going to have
a prank. Better call your family.
I don't know what I'm going to do next week, folks. I don't know what the topic will be. I'll have to find what I was thinking it was next week. So I will be here next week. Just don't know what I'll be talking about. Thank you, James, for being here as well. Remember, be proactive, not reactive. Make the best of your financial choices and have a great week.